Hello, I'm Pastor Jack, and I'm glad to have you join me tonight for another lesson of theology in 30 minutes. Tonight, the message is entitled, Why the Bible Matters. I want to start off by reading a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 and following. The scripture says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I am fascinated by the Great Pyramid at Giza. It was built around 2500 BC as a tomb. And for the next 3,800 years, it was the tallest man-made structure on earth. From ancient times, it was recognized as one of the wonders of the world. And historians today still debate how the thing was actually made. Building it required installing about 800 tons of stone, listen to this, every day for 20 years. 800 tons of stone every day for 20 years. That works out to be about 12 blocks per hour, every hour of every day for two decades. The sheer magnitude of that kind of project is astounding. But the level of accuracy they achieved is truly mind-blowing. Based on measurements from the northeastern casing stones, the main opening of the joints is 0.02 inches wide. The blocks were fit that closely together. It'd be amazing to tour it someday. Or better yet, it'd be amazing to travel back in time and see how they actually pulled it off. Certainly, if you lived in Egypt, you would go and see it. How could you neglect to see such an amazing sight? It'd be like living here in Los Angeles but never going to the ocean. I lived for about 10 years in Arizona, and Arizona is home to one of the natural wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon, and I was able to make several trips to it. It's pretty amazing. But as amazing as it is, there are people, many people, who live in Arizona and have never even gone to see it. Other people around the world spend thousands of dollars to come and spend a little bit of time to see the canyon. Now, I would love to be able to travel and see different wonders of the world. But today we are talking about a true wonder, the wonder of the Word. I'm talking about the Bible. If you could just grasp how astounding it is, how amazing it is. I'm convinced you would cling to it. You would never neglect it. You would read it and study it and want to understand it. And that's exactly what we're going to try to do tonight. In these verses I read to you to start, Paul urges Timothy to continue in the Word by explaining what an amazing book it is. My aim today is to convince you that the Bible is truly the wonder of the world. If you could only see how amazing it is, you would be eager to seize every opportunity to get into it. The Bible matters, and it matters far more than any pyramid or any canyon or any work of man. Now, every Christian would agree that the Bible matters. But here is why I want to convince you tonight. The Bible is the wonder of the Word, and the Bible matters more than any other thing. The Bible matters because the words in Scripture are the words of God. So to not believe or not obey the words of the Bible is to not believe or not obey the words of God. Now, throughout the scripture, the Bible claims to be God's word. The Old Testament is full of statements about this. All throughout, you see the phrase, "Thus says the Lord," and then the prophet speaks. In Exodus, it says over and over, "Then the Lord said to Moses," and then it gives you the Lord's words, claiming that the words written in Exodus are the words of God. Moses even describes how he was commanded to write down God's very words. Exodus 17:14, the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua." So he's telling him, "This is my word. I want you to write it down." In Exodus 24, verse 4, it says, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord." A little bit later on, Isaiah says in his prophecy, "Hear the word of the Lord. Give ear to the law of our God." That's Isaiah 1:10. Jeremiah says, "The words of Jeremiah, to whom the word of the Lord came." Jeremiah 1:2. Ezekiel also says, "The word of the Lord came to me." Hosea, Joel, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi all begin with the phrase, something like this, "The word of the Lord came to me." The Old Testament prophets and writers claim to be not just writing their thoughts. No, they claim to be writing God's words to man. Last week, we looked at three ways we can learn about God, and we said one way was from nature. We can see a glimpse of his greatness. Another way was our conscience, where in our own hearts, God has put in there a knowledge of him, a knowledge of right and wrong. But the main way that we know about God is from his word. Remember, we said we're assuming two things in this study. We're assuming that the God of the Bible is, and that the God of the Bible speaks. God exists and God speaks to us. And so the prophets, the writers of the Old Testament, they say, "The words that we're speaking to you are God's words." It's not that everything Moses said was God's words. No, it's not the claim. Jeremiah or none of the prophets claim to be speaking every word to be God's words. But the words they wrote down in books that they were convinced were messages from God, that's what we have in the Bible. God's inspired words. Now, Jesus recognized the words of the Bible were the words of God. In Matthew 4, in verse number 4, in the middle of his temptation with the devil, he answers one of the temptations with these words, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy there, and notice what he says, "Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He is claiming that the words of the Bible have come from the mouth of God. In other words, they are God-spoken. They're breathed out from God's mouth. So that the words of the Old Testament are not just the words of religious men, but they are the words of God. Jesus was so convinced of the importance of Scripture and of recognizing that it came from God. But we have the New Testament. What about the Gospels? What about the writings of Paul and Peter and James and the other New Testament authors? Jesus actually spoke beforehand about this, and he told us we were going to get further revelation. In John 16, in verse 12, Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and will tell you things to come. Notice here, Jesus says that he's going to leave, the Spirit's going to come, and the Spirit is going to teach them with words that he has heard. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to teach them with God's words. John 15, Jesus again talking about the Spirit, he says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The words of the Bible, they're the words of God. Jesus, or the Old Testament authors recognized that. Jesus recognized it. He talked about the New Testament authors being, in fact, speaking through the Spirit of God. So I want to look at a couple of key texts that really drive this point home and hopefully make it very clear and encourage you to see what a great treasure you have in the Word and to see why it matters so much. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a verse we read at the start. It's a key text in the New Testament about the Bible. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you just look at that first part, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. These words tell us that the Bible has been breathed out by God. It comes from Him. Concerning the inspiration of the Bible, Charles Wesley said this. He said, the Bible must be the invention of either good men or angels, bad men or devils, or of God. He said, hey, there's only one explanation for the Bible. It either comes from good people, it either comes from bad people, or it comes from God. And so he says this, it could not be the invention of good men or angels, for they would or could, for they neither would or could make a book and tell lies all the time they were writing it, saying, thus says the Lord, when it was their own invention. He said, good people couldn't write the Bible because the Bible claims to be God's words. So you couldn't write that if you were a good person because you'd be lying unless it was God's words. He says, it couldn't be the invention of bad men or devils, for they would not make a book which commands all duty, forbids all sin, and condemns their souls to hell for eternity. Therefore, I draw this conclusion, that the Bible must be given by divine inspiration. And when Paul wrote to Timothy in this letter, 2 Timothy, he called the Bible, in the verse before, verse 15, he called it the Holy Scriptures. And that word holy sets the writings of the Bible apart from the writings of men. It says these are different. This is unique. I have many books in my library, but only one book that comes from God. The Bible is the Holy Scriptures. Verse 16 tells us it comes from God. The word inspiration, many modern translations actually translate it more literally by saying all Scripture is God-breathed. That's exactly what the Greek text says. Our word inspiration, that's what it means. It means that the Bible's words are God's words. They're breathed out by Him. So the Bible here is the product of God. And the Bible is from God in its entirety. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. From beginning to end, all of the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is one book with one all-encompassing theme, one message about God, one way of salvation, one hope for eternity. The Bible has the power to protect us from error, Paul told Timothy, and to guide him to eternal life. If the Bible was full of errors, it would not be a book that could guide us in all these ways. And then the end of verse 16, it says simply that all of this inspired word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we'll look at that a little more down the road and at verse 17 in particular about the sufficiency of the word. But right now, I want you to see how God used men to record his word. Because we've got a problem in a way, don't we? How do men get God's words? How do you know that the words written down by Paul are actually God's words? Well, God speaks to us and he explains to us how the Bible is a product of God given through men. So God, in one case in the Old Testament, he did directly write down the words and give them to man. And that was on the Mount Sinai when God called Moses up to receive the Ten Commandments. He gave him two tablets of stone that the Old Testament says were written with the finger of God. Those Ten Commandments God wrote and handed them to Moses. So we have God's word given to man. But that is not the way that God gave the rest of Scripture. Second Peter describes how God did give us his words. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So this passage describes for us that Scripture does not come from men. It's the words of Scripture that are inspired, not the men. God speaks through the men to write his words. He says the word didn't come through the will of man. In other words, it wasn't something that Peter really thought up. This is what he was going to do. It was something God put in his heart. God chose certain men and he moved in them to deliver his message. As they were moved along by the Holy Spirit, the things they spoke were the words of God. So this passage explains how God used men to write in his word. And so an example of this would be how we might use a pen. You know, I might take a pen and write, and I'm the one doing the writing. And yet it's the pen that's doing the writing, isn't it? It's sort of an illustration of how God is the one who's moving the minds and the hearts and even the pens or quills of the authors to record his words, but he's doing it through them. So that when I write on a piece of paper, if I use different kinds of pens, they leave a different look on the page. The ink will flow differently. Some pens will just really blot out a lot of ink, and some you have to press hard to get it to make ink come out on the page. And so different pens will leave different impressions and different looks, but it's just me writing. It's one author. Some pens are easy to write in cursive with, and others are harder to write in cursive with. So sometimes I might print or I might write in cursive, depending on the kind of pen that I've got, but I'm the one that is the author. And so God uses men and he speaks through them in various ways to record his words. And yet the words are in the style that Paul writes, or in the style that Peter writes, or in the style that Moses writes. God doesn't just use a man like he's in a trance and he goes into this frozen state where he's just writing down a dictation. No, he's working through the person to record his words. That is what 2 Peter 1 and verse 21 says. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, the verse before us says prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, and the private interpretation refers to the writers of the Bible. So in this context here, we're talking about giving revelation rather than understanding it. And so what the Spirit is saying here is the Bible writers didn't personally interpret God's revelation to man, but no, they were recording God's revelation given by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something you can see throughout the Scriptures, and I've got a few more examples that I want to show to you how God gave his words through men. A great example in the Old Testament is Moses. Exodus 4, Moses said to the Lord, this is right when God appeared to him in the burning bush and he's talking to him about going and telling Pharaoh to let the people go. Moses says, oh Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am of slow speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? It's like Moses, the Lord saying to Moses, hey, you know, I thought about this, right? I'm the one who made your mouth. So when I tell you to use it, I know what I'm doing. Now, therefore, go. Notice this. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God tells Moses that he's going to speak through him. Verse 13, but he said, oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. He says, use somebody else. So the Lord is angry with Moses and he says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. He says, I'm giving you some help. Now, you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. So understand that the writers of the Bible, Moses and all the ones that followed him, they were not saying that they had wisdom to teach us about God. They were saying that God's words were speaking through them to us. The Bible matters more than any other religious book on my shelves or in any library in the world, because the Bible is not a book about God. The Bible is a book from God. The Old Testament authors recognized that, and so did the New Testament ones. In Acts 3, the apostles said, those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he thus has fulfilled. Notice how he says, God spoke by the mouth of the prophets. Later on, he says, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And this really encapsulates this whole idea of revelation. The Scriptures were written by men, but they are the writings of God. The doctrine of inspiration says that the Bible is God's perfect word given through human instruments. So by inspiration, we mean the Spirit moved the human writers of the Bible in such a way that they recorded the very words of God in the Scriptures. Now, when we talk about the inspiration of the Bible, it used to be sufficient to just say, I believe the Bible is inspired. But, unfortunately, that's not sufficient anymore. We can say lots of things are inspired. You might go see a play and the actors or actresses in it do such an amazing performance. You say, wow, they were really inspired tonight. I mean, they were just amazing. It was awesome. Or we might read a poem or read a story then say, man, that's inspiring. Those kinds of uses of inspiring are what some people mean when they talk about the Bible. They mean that reading the Bible is like reading a really good story and it really moves them. But that's insufficient to describe what we're saying about the Bible. Now, the Bible matters more than any inspiring type story you might read, or any inspiring performance or inspiring act. You might watch a movie and see the main character do such amazing things or make such an amazing sacrifice, and you say, man, that movie really inspired me. That's not what we're saying when we're talking about the Bible. What had the Old Testament prophets claimed? Not that they had a really good feeling when they wrote this. No, they said they spoke God's words. They said, thus says the Lord. God told Moses he would be with his mouth and he would teach him what to say. David would say a similar thing, that God's words were speaking through his mouth. So when we say the Bible's inspired, we mean it's far different than any other book. Why does the Bible matter more than any other writing? Because the words of the Bible are the words of God. God has spoken, so that means we should listen. It is in the Scriptures that we find God's wisdom. It's in the Scriptures, Paul told Timothy, that he could learn the way of salvation. It's in the Scriptures we learn about man's sin and the accountability that we have before God. It's from the Scriptures we learn that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is through the Word of God, the Bible, that we can know the mind of God. So the Bible matters, not because it's well written, not because it's famous, not because you can buy it in all kinds of pretty bindings. No, the Bible matters because it's God's words. The Scriptures speak with the authority of God. All the Bible's inspired. Every part is equally inspired. So I'm begging you, as you hear about the wonder of the Word, I'm begging you to pick it up and read it. I'm begging you to dig into it. Seek to understand it, study it. Ask God to teach you from his word. He has used the word of God to change the lives of countless people throughout history. He's still doing it now. He can still do it in my heart and in your heart. So let's dig into the word of God. May God be glorified as we listen carefully to his words, not just to hear them, but to be doers of the word. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your Scriptures. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, there's so much we wouldn't know and understand without you speaking to us and inspiring men's, inspiring the words that men would record and inspiring, Lord, the Scriptures for us so that they could be written down and passed down so that we might know your mind. We pray you'd help us to love your word and to study it more and more every day. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.